everyone, and welcome back. We're diving into some pretty fascinating stuff today, ancient Israelite rituals. We've got a lecture transcript as our main source, and you might be surprised at just how much these ancient practices connect with our modern lives. We're talking about things like Sabbath, festivals, even the origin of the word scapegoat.
It is really interesting how these rituals weren't just like actions people went through, right?
Huh.
They were really deeply symbolic, and they offer a lot of spiritual insights and really shaped their community life.
So it's kind of like when we understand these practices, it's like we're peering into the heart of ancient Israelite culture.
Yeah.
And in a way, we can actually see reflections of our own lives, too.
Absolutely.
Okay, so let's start with something that might sound a little, I don't know, intense to some people, sacrifice. I'll be honest, when I think of sacrifice, I kind of picture like something pretty impersonal,
yeah,
like just giving something up. But this lecture points out that in ancient Israel, sacrifice was a lot more personal, more hands-on.
Yeah, that's right. It wasn't just like a simple transaction. The person who was making the sacrifice would actually bring the animal themselves. And it was meant to be a real sacrifice, something that had value and cost them something.
Right, like a real loss.
Exactly. And the lecture even describes this powerful moment where the person would lay their hands on the animal's head. It's like this symbolic act of transferring their sin, acknowledging its consequences, and identifying with the animal.
Wow, that's a powerful image and so different from how we might think about sacrifice today. It's interesting, the lecture also mentioned something that really caught my eye. It talks about how the poor could offer birds instead of more expensive livestock. What was the reasoning behind that?
Yeah, that detail is really important because it kind of highlights that idea of God's accessibility and justice within the sacrificial system. You know, it wasn't a system that was just designed for the wealthy. It was meant to be something that everyone, regardless of their economic status, could participate in.
That makes a lot of sense. It really reinforces that idea that everyone, rich or poor, they stood on equal footing before God. Now let's shift gears to something that I think a lot of us can relate to, especially in our busy modern lives, the Sabbath. It just seems like finding time to rest is a constant struggle for so many people these days.
It is.
But in ancient Israel, the Sabbath wasn't seen as a burden, but as a divine gift.
Absolutely.
And here's something I found really interesting. The Sabbath rest wasn't just for people. It applied to the land as well.
Yeah, you've hit on a crucial point. The Sabbath rest applied to both people and land, which really reflects this interconnectedness between humanity and creation in their worldview.
Right.
And it's important to understand that Sabbath wasn't just like some random day off. It had deep theological roots, grounded in the ideas of both creation and redemption. And this makes the concept of Sabbath relevant far beyond just the ancient Israelites.
And the lecture even shares a personal story about the professor's husband rediscovering the Sabbath during what must have been an incredibly demanding time, his graduate studies.
Right.
And what's amazing is that taking that time to rest actually made him more productive and grounded overall. I think that really speaks volumes about the power of intentional rest.
Absolutely. And, you know, when we connect that experience to the bigger picture, we see how Jesus's teaching about the Sabbath being made for humankind really comes alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right. In a world that's constantly pushing us to do more, be more, and achieve more, that ancient practice of intentional rest, it feels more relevant now than ever. Wouldn't you agree?
I completely agree. It's like a built-in reminder to slow down, to take a breath, and remember what truly matters. Okay, so we've talked about sacrifice. We've touched on the Sabbath. And now I'd like to move on to another fascinating aspect of ancient Israelite ritual festivals. These weren't just like big parties or celebrations. They were powerful educational tools, kind of like our modern-day holidays, but with a much deeper spiritual dimension. Right. And what's really fascinating about these festivals is how they use storytelling and reenactment to bring history and faith to life. Each festival had its own unique set of rituals and symbols, which helped people connect with God and their community on a deeper level. Imagine, you know, the impact of experiencing those events year after year, those stories becoming deeply embedded in their lives and shaping their understanding of the world.
I can only imagine how powerful that must have been. The lecture even shares this really vivid anecdote about a veiled statue of Jesus on Maundy Thursday and how the unveiling on Easter Sunday was such a powerful and moving experience, even for a young child. It makes me think about similar experiences from our own traditions and how those rituals have shaped our understanding of faith.
It's a perfect example of how rituals, even those that might seem simple on the surface, can create lasting memories and have a profound impact on how we see the world and our place within it. Now let's look at the three major festivals: Passover, Weeks, or Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Each one of these festivals connects to profound themes of redemption, law-giving, and dwelling with God.
That's really interesting. And I remember the lecture mentioning this fascinating parallel between the giving of the Torah at Pentecost with the fire on Mount Sinai and the Holy Spirit descending in Acts 2 also with tongues of fire.
Right.
It's like this beautiful echo across time showing how God works in these consistent and sometimes surprising ways.
Those connections are so crucial because they help us understand how the story of God's people unfolds across centuries and how we are all part of that larger narrative. But what's truly captivating about Pentecost is how it expands on those themes. Think about it. The giving of the Torah at Sinai, it marked a covenant between God and his people, a set of laws and guidelines for living. Then, centuries later, Pentecost sees the Holy Spirit, the very presence of God, descending upon believers. It's like this deepening of that original covenant moved from external laws to an internal transformation.
That's a really insightful way to look at it. It's almost like Pentecost is this bridge between the old and the new, the external and the internal. But how does that connect to us today? I mean, we're not standing at the foot of Mount Sinai. We're not experiencing the events of Acts 2 firsthand.
That's a great question, and it brings us to the heart of why these ancient rituals are still relevant. Pentecost, with its themes of fire, transformation, and the indwelling presence of God, it speaks to the very core of the Christian faith. It's a reminder that our relationship with God isn't just about following rules. It's about experiencing a radical change from the inside out.
That's a powerful thought. It's like Pentecost is an invitation to experience that same transformative power in our own lives, to be filled with that same spirit that empowered the early believers.
Exactly. And that's just one example of how these ancient festivals, while rooted in a specific historical and cultural context, they offer these timeless truths and insights that can still speak to us today.
I'm starting to see that these rituals weren't just about, you know, empty actions or following traditions blindly. They were a way for the ancient Israelites to connect with God, understand their place in the world, and build a strong and vibrant community. And honestly, who wouldn't want that in their lives even today?
You're absolutely right. And as we delve deeper into some of the other rituals, you'll see even more connections and parallels to our modern experiences and how these ancient practices might offer us guidance and inspiration for living more meaningful and fulfilling lives.
It's amazing how much depth and meaning is packed into these seemingly simple rituals, like you're peeling back layers of history and uncovering these timeless truths that still resonate with us today. The lecture also mentioned some other intriguing rituals, and one that really caught my attention was this concept of vows. It even brought up the Nazirite vow, which we see with Samson and John the Baptist in the Bible. Those guys were serious about their commitments.
Yeah, it's true. They were incredibly dedicated to their vows, and it makes me wonder, how do our modern ideas of commitment compare to the seriousness with which the ancient Israelites approached vows?
Yeah.
You know, back then, a vow wasn't something you took lightly. It was a deeply binding promise, a commitment made before God and witnessed by the community.
That's a really interesting point. I mean, think about how often we make promises or commitments today, both big and small. Do we approach them with the same level of seriousness? It seems like our culture is a lot more casual about these things, maybe even to the point of devaluing the weight of a promise.
It's definitely something to think about. Perhaps this ancient perspective on vows challenges us to reevaluate how we approach commitments in our own lives. Maybe it encourages us to be more intentional about the promises we make and to consider the impact our words and actions have on others.
Right. It's like a call to bring back a sense of honor and integrity to our commitments, to understand that our word is our bond. And speaking of commitments, the lecture also discussed the practice of tithing. I've always thought of tithing as this serious, almost somber obligation. But the lecture presented a different perspective, suggesting that tithes were actually meant for celebration. Is that right?
You heard that correctly. The ancient Israelites didn't view tithing as simply like a duty or a burden. It was an opportunity to express gratitude to God for his blessings and to celebrate his provision. They were encouraged to use a portion of their tithe to purchase food and drink and to enjoy a feast in the presence of God.
That's a perspective I've never really considered before. It completely changes the feeling around tithing, turning it from an obligation into an act of joyful celebration. Was there a communal aspect to this as well?
Absolutely. It wasn't just about like personal enjoyment. A significant portion of the tithe was dedicated to caring for the community, particularly those in need. It provided for the poor, widows, orphans, and the Levites who served in the temple. It was a beautiful system designed to ensure that everyone had the opportunity to participate in the joy of the Lord and experience his provision.
It's amazing how these rituals were so intertwined with social responsibility and caring for the most vulnerable members of society. It's like this built-in reminder that faith isn't just about personal piety. It's about putting that faith into action by loving and serving others. The lecture also briefly mentioned a ritual that really piqued my curiosity, the ritual of the red heifer. Can you tell us a little more about that?
The ritual of the red heifer, described in Numbers 19, is one of the most intriguing and complex rituals in the Old Testament. It deals with the concept of ritual purity, specifically the purification of someone who has come into contact with death.
That's interesting. Why was contact with death considered impure in ancient Israelite culture?
It wasn't that death itself was, like, inherently evil, but it represented a disruption of the natural order of life. Remember, the Israelites believed in a God who was the source of all life. Death, therefore, was seen as a separation from that life-giving source, and contact with it could contaminate a person ritually, making them unable to fully participate in the religious life of the community.
I see. So the red heifer ritual was a way to cleanse that ritual impurity and restore someone to a state of wholeness and participation in the community.
Precisely. The ashes of a perfectly red heifer, sacrificed in a very specific way, were used to create this purification water that would cleanse those who had become ritually unclean. The details of the ritual are quite intricate, but the core idea is that this act of sacrifice and purification allowed individuals to be restored to right relationship with God and with the community.
It sounds like there were layers upon layers of symbolism and meaning embedded in this ritual. It makes you wonder, what can we learn from these ancient practices, even ones that might seem strange or foreign to us today?
It's tempting to dismiss these rituals as, like, relics of a bygone era, but I think they have something to teach us about the human condition. Our desire for connection with something larger than ourselves, and our longing for wholeness and restoration.
Yeah, it's fascinating how these ancient rituals, even the ones that seem kind of obscure to us now, they offer these glimpses into universal human experiences and spiritual longings.
Yeah.
You know, it wasn't just about going through the motions. They were engaging with something much bigger than themselves.
Yeah, that's a really key point. These rituals weren't just about external actions. They were really about connecting the physical and the spiritual realms. They took these everyday actions, eating, resting, farming, celebrating, and they infused them with this divine significance.
And that connection wasn't just on an individual level either, right? So much of what we've talked about really highlights the communal aspect of these rituals, that emphasis on caring for one another and recognizing our shared humanity.
Absolutely. These rituals weren't just about private devotion. They were about shaping a just and compassionate society. They were about living out their faith in a way that impacted the world around them.
Makes you wonder, are there ways that we can recapture that sense of connection, that integration of faith and everyday life in our modern world? It seems like we've lost some of that, you know, in our fast-paced, often fragmented lives.
That's a great question. And it's something that the lecture touches on when it discusses the concept of redemption, particularly the Jubilee year.
You mean the year where debts were canceled and slaves were set free and family property was restored?
Exactly. The Jubilee year was like this massive reset button for society, a way to ensure that everyone had a chance to start fresh and break free from these cycles of poverty or oppression.
It's like a radical act of societal renewal, a recognition that everyone deserves a chance to thrive and live with dignity. But was it just about material possessions, or was there like a deeper spiritual dimension to the Jubilee?
Yeah, the Jubilee wasn't simply about material redistribution. It was also about spiritual freedom. It pointed to God's desire to restore us to right relationship with Him and with each other. It's like this beautiful picture of God's grace and mercy, His willingness to forgive and make all things new.
Yeah, it's like that powerful proclamation in Leviticus 25, proclaim liberty throughout the land. It's a reminder that true freedom comes from aligning ourselves with God's heart for justice and compassion.
And that message continues to resonate today as we strive to create a world where everyone has the opportunity to flourish and experience the fullness of life that God intends.
So as we wrap up this deep dive into ancient Israelite rituals, what would you say is like the most important takeaway for our listeners?
I think the key takeaway is that these rituals weren't just like empty traditions or outdated practices. They were really powerful tools for shaping a people's understanding of God, themselves, and the world around them. They offer us a glimpse into a way of life that was deeply integrated, where faith wasn't just something you did on the Sabbath or at festivals, but something that permeated every aspect of daily existence.
And even though we live in a very different world today, there's still so much that we can learn from these ancient practices. Maybe it's about rediscovering the power of rest, of intentional celebration, radical generosity, or simply finding ways to infuse our everyday actions with a sense of the sacred.
Yeah, the key is perhaps to remember that the heart of these rituals was about connecting with something larger than ourselves. It was about recognizing our dependence on God, our responsibility to one another, and the deep joy that comes from living in harmony with creation.
What a beautiful thought to leave us with. As you go about your week, I encourage you to consider how you might incorporate some of these ancient principles into your own life. Maybe it's as simple as lighting a candle at dinner, taking a tech-free Sabbath afternoon, or committing to an act of radical generosity. Who knows, you might rediscover a sense of meaning and purpose that you didn't even know you were missing. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, keep exploring.